Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Aren't they incredible people? Man, I'm so thankful for them. Well, I have one more quick announcement that I want to make before we continue in the service, and that is that we have a praise report this morning. That is that I hold in my hands a lease for a sanctuary for the Well Fort Payne that has been signed, and we will be able to take possession of this building on the 1st of September, 2022. Come on, let's stand. Actually, Donna, play that song I told you to play. Come on, clap your hands, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I believe that things like this ought to be celebrated. I'm so thankful to the Lord that He has provided, He has made a way. I'm thankful for you because you've been faithful. You haven't stopped believing. You haven't stopped pursuing God and coming and believing that He's going to move in this city. So all I can say is, look what the Lord has done. Come on. Come on. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all knew that song? Look what the Lord has done. Come on, that's my childhood in a nutshell right there. We used to ride down the road going for my dad to preach somewhere, and we'd just be jamming to that in the back, just having a great old time. And that just came to my spirit last night. Let me tell you some more information about this. So you may be wondering where, what, you may already know where and what. But we have leased a facility over on Green Hill Boulevard that will be our offices, our nurseries, and our fellowship hall. Thank you, baby. But right next door, there is a unit that is coming available, and we are going to lease, we have leased that as our sanctuary, and we will be able to meet there the first Sunday in September. And I'm so thankful to the Lord. Service will still be at 10 a.m., and there's going to be, we're going to have ongoing renovations as we prepare that. And I hate that so many are out today and not able to hear this awesome news, but we're going to keep celebrating it. But next week will actually be our last week in the city auditorium. And with that being said, we are so blessed to have some special guests with us this morning. I want to welcome Pastor Keith and Sheila Nix. Fricks, I'm so sorry. Pastors Keith and Sheila, they are actually going to be planting a church here in Fort Payne called Vive Church that's going to actually be meeting right here in the city auditorium. And we are so thankful for you guys answering the call that you feel like God has placed on your life. And actually, I'm going to ask if you would do me a favor. Would you reach your, if y'all are comfortable with this, would you guys reach your hands their way? Actually, would y'all just come up here? Are y'all comfortable to do that? Just come up here. I want to pray over them this morning. I don't want to miss this opportunity that we have to pray over and to speak into what I feel like is, going to be an amazing thing. So you guys just come right up here. If you guys would just reach your hands this way and just begin to intercede over them right now. Lord, I thank you for a man and woman of God that have answered the call and have laid down things in their life. And Lord, I just pray blessing. Lord, I pray for wisdom where they need wisdom, strength where they need strength. God, I pray for rest where they need rest, provision where they need provision. God, I pray for open doors like they have never seen or never known, God. I pray that they would hear your voice clearer in this season and know you like they have never known you, God. I pray that you would hide them in the cleft of the rock and show them your glory, God. I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just pray over their life right now that you would be all sufficient as I know that you will be, God. I thank you for your faithfulness over them. And we just speak blessing as we close one season here and they step into it, God. I thank you that the kingdom of God is going to be advanced and it's going to grow and it's going to prosper and it's not going to shrink back, but it is going to press forward. And I just speak blessing over them, God. Use them mightily. I pray that you would speak through them. I pray that you would move through them, God. Let signs, wonders, and miracles take place, Lord. And we thank you for a brother and sister in the faith that love you enough to answer the call to do whatever you ask them to do. So we speak blessing over them today in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise and show honor to Pastors Keith and Sheila I look forward to getting to know you guys better. And especially when I saw Pastor Keith come in, he had on a Robert Trent Jones and a FootJoy shirt. I said, that's a brother in the Lord right there. There can't be anything wrong with that gentleman. So I'm so excited to have you guys and to just see what God does in our region, in our community. So thankful for Kingdom Connections. Amen. Come on, somebody. Well, I'm going to be starting a new series today called Teach Us to Pray. This is something that God has been stirring within my heart, and actually that's part of why we're going to be having these first Wednesday prayer meetings. Is Jesus said, when he quoted in the book of Matthew, he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And the important part that we leave out of that a lot is for all nations. And we want this to be a house of all nations, where black, white, yellow, goodness, if a Smurf comes in here, we'll lead him to the Lord. Come on, somebody. But we want this to be a house of prayer. He didn't say my house shall be called a house of worship, a house of praise, a house of preaching, a house of programs, a house of children's ministries, or none of those things are bad. But he said my house shall be called a house of prayer. So I believe that any church that is legitimate must be a church that prays, and we want to be a church that knows how to pray and intercede. So I want to start a series today called Teach Us to Pray. Now, before we do this, listen, this is going to be very uncomfortable for me. I'm just going to be very honest with you guys. I don't normally do stuff like this because I feel like it may be thought that I'm trying to take advantage of you. But last night I was spending time with the Lord praying for this morning, and he put a song on my heart, and I began to sing it to the Lord, and he told me, I want you to sing that tomorrow morning before you preach. And listen, I you can ask my wife. I don't like putting myself out there. I don't like singing in front. Like, I know I lead praise and worship, but like if there was a guitar or a piano and someone was like, Spencer, go sing a song, I'd be like, no way. There's not a chance. Like the other night, I was eating with my dad and brothers, and we were at Jefferson's here, and they broke out karaoke. And my dad was like, Spence, go sing some karaoke. I was like, there's not a chance in the world. He's like, I'll give you $100. I was like, no, I'm not going. He's like, I'll give you $150. I was like, no, I'm not singing karaoke. That's just not happening. But I have to be obedient to the moving of the Lord. So, Brandon, if you would turn my guitar and microphone back on here, and I'm going to switch back to this vocal mic. And I want you just to listen to the words of this song and what it says. So, and pray for me that I get through this and not feel too uncomfortable, okay? Just listen to these words as we begin the series on Teach Us to Pray. And Heavenly Father, you always amaze me. Let your kingdom come in my world, in my life. Give me the food I need to live through the day. Forgive me as I forgive the people that wrong me. Lead me far from temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune or out of place. I walk through the meadow, I stare at the flowers. Better dressed than any girl on her wedding day. Why should I worry? Why do I freak out when God knows what I need? You know what I need. Your love is strong. Your
strong. Your love is strong. The kingdom of the heavens is now advancing. Invade my heart, invade this broken town. The kingdom of the heavens is buried treasure. Would you sell yourself to buy the one you found? Two things you told me. That you are strong and you love me. Yes, you love me. Keep us far from our vices and deliver us from these prisons. So why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. Your love is strong. Your love is strong.
Amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Amen. I heard some of y'all praying. Y'all knew I needed it. I appreciate it. Heard some of y'all, Jesus, bless him, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate it. What I'm going to ask you to do now is if you would grab your Bible, stand to your feet for the reading of God's word. This is simply to show honor to the word. And we're going to move to the book of Luke, chapter 11. And we're going to read and we're going to begin this series on Teach Us to Pray. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. If you do not have your Bible with you today or your tablet or your phone or whatever it is that you consume God's word on, we'll have the scriptures for you on the screens. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 and then we'll pray. It says, "Now it came to pass as he," this is speaking of Jesus, "was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him," and this is where we get the basis for this series, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." So he said to them, this is Jesus's response in teaching his disciples how they ought to pray, how they ought to entreat the Father. He says, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us
from the evil one. Bow your head with me in prayer if you would. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray for the parts of our heart that need to be encouraged, to be encouraged. Lord, I pray for the parts of our heart that need to be corrected and aligned in the right position to be done so by your word today. Lord, I pray for the person today that may be struggling or wondering and not sure where to go or what to do. I thank you that your word will direct and guide us and lead us because it's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And I pray and I just declare my awesome need for your Holy Spirit today to anoint me to preach the gospel with clarity and with authority in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. Thank you so much once again for being here. So great to have you. And I want to begin a series today entitled Teach Us to Pray, because one thing that I've realized is we are seeking and longing for a mighty move of God in DeKalb County. We didn't come here just to play church. We didn't come here just to have a good time. We didn't come here because we didn't have anything else to do or anywhere else to go. We came here because we believe that God said that he is going to move mightily in this generation, in this place. Right, Pastor Keith? I believe that we're going to see God move in this region and do things that we have never seen before with our natural eyes. But I know for a fact that in every great move of God of history has had two things at the foundational level of its existence. Two things are always at the basis or at the foundation of a great move of God. And if we want to see a great move of God, then we're going to have to be willing to do these two things. And the two things that I believe are at the foundational level of every great move of God are repentance and prayer. You will find it at the core of every great move of God, every revival that's ever broken out, every special meeting that God did something great, every time he moved, it's because people repented and people began to pray. That's why it says in the book, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and to do what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land. That is a roadmap to revival. Is that we humble ourselves, that we turn from our wicked way. And if we will call out to heaven, we pray, he says he will come and he will heal our land. And it doesn't matter if it's a personal revival, if it's a household revival, a church revival, a community revival, a regional revival, a national revival, or a global revival. It always begins with repentance and with prayer. And as I read of the mighty moves of God that have swept this nation and the nations of the world, those two pillars of repentance and prayer can always be found in the corridors of revival. If you want to walk into the doors and you want to see what held up revival, obviously it was the move of God, but what is it that man can do that can move the heart of God to bring about a mighty move and the blowing of the wind of his spirit? It's repentance and it's prayer. And I want to first begin at the beginning of this journey. I don't know how long this series will last. It may just be next week. It may be 3 weeks. We may talk about prayer for the rest of the year, because I know that at the beginning of this year, 2022, God spoke to me 7 words for this house that we were going to see, we were going to pray them, we were going to preach them, we were going to go after what God has promised to this house, and one of them was this would be a year of prayer. And I want to begin at the very start of this journey to diagnose and to dispel a common misconception about prayer amongst the body of Christ. I believe that there are many people that don't fully understand or comprehend the power of prayer or understand that they can pray. And here's one of the greatest misconceptions that I believe that we have, and that is that many feel that prayer is reserved for the preacher, the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, or the old lady that is lonely and has nothing to do other than pray for her wayward grandchild to come back to the Lord. They have this idea that prayer is for the minister and prayer is just for, you know, certain people. But I want you to know today that prayer is a gift from God for all people. And if you're not praying, you are missing out. It's not an obligation. It's an invitation. There is nowhere in the Word of God that says if you don't pray that this will happen, this will happen. It's an invitation that we have to talk to the Most High God and to get counsel and to get wisdom and to get instruction and to get things off of our heart. So prayer is not an obligation, it's an invitation. I also want to address the farce that prayer is merely
a get out of jail free card. What I mean by that is so many people only pray, only turn to prayer when everything goes wrong in their life. When everything starts breaking down and the kids are acting crazy and you get laid off or this happens or that happens, and all of a sudden everybody starts praying and we only use prayer when the world is falling apart. Listen, prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. I want to say that again because I want that to get inside of your spirit. I want you to realize prayer should be your first response, not your last resort. In everything in life, you should always pray about it. You should always take it to the Father. You should always come before Him, not as a last-ditch effort, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It should be our first response. In fact, the book says that in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, speaking of Jesus, that He would often, listen to that word, often, He would make it His practice, His ritual. He would often slip off by Himself into the wilderness to pray. Meaning that was His habit, that was His practice, that was His regularly scheduled activity to get alone with God and to pray. He was God in the flesh. He was perfect to the very core of His being, yet He still made it a priority and put time to say, I am often regularly going to get off by myself and I've got to talk to the Father. I've got to get in His ear and I've got to get my ear in tune with His voice. I've got to know what He's saying and I need to communicate with Him and talk with Him. Prayer must be a priority in our life because prayer was a priority in the life of Jesus. And He was a model of how we ought to live our life, of who we ought to be and how we should conduct ourselves. So he would do it so often that what we find in Luke chapter 11 is that after He had been in His alone personal time with God, praying and seeking the heart of the Father, that when He ceased, His disciples saw it modeled in front of them. They saw Jesus praying and they came to Him with a request in Luke chapter 11. They said, Master, would You teach us to pray? I think part of the problem that we face today in the church is the lack of a teachable spirit. I think it's one of the biggest things that is hindering the movement of the kingdom of God, the way that we hope and want to see, and God, I believe, is speaking and releasing, is that there are so many people that go to church religiously every Sunday morning, and that's the problem probably, is they're going religiously every Sunday morning, and they walk in the doors, and they sit down, but they got walls up, and they've got blinders on their eyes, and they don't want to see it the way that they don't already see it. They don't want to hear it the way that they haven't already heard it. They don't want to be told areas that need repentance in their life, or they don't want to be revealed about the power of prayer and the fact that we need to be people of prayer. And there's a lack of a teachable spirit, whether it's about prayer, whether it's about the anointing, whether it's about tithing, whether it's about just good works, whatever it may be. People come in and listen, going to church will not change your life. I believe that church can change your life, but it's when you open up and you come in with a teachable spirit and you want to be taught, not what I have to say, because I don't get up here just hoping that you'll listen to what I have to say. Hopefully you want to be taught the Word of God. And if you aren't coming to church for the Word, you're coming for the preacher, or you're coming for the worship, then you're coming for the wrong reason. I believe that we need to be people that say, I want to be taught the Word of God. I'm hungry for the Word of God, not just to be taught it, but I want to study it. Like it says in Acts chapter 17, it says that those, the Bereans, they were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they sought and they studied the scriptures all day to see if these things were so, but they had a teachable spirit. We've got to be people that have a teachable spirit. Listen, you don't know everything. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I can look in the mirror and say, you don't know everything. I can look at every single one of you in the eye and tell you, you don't know anything. And I would not be wrong, because none of us are all knowing. Only the Father is. So why is it that when all of a sudden we come through those doors, we think we know everything? We've heard it all before. We've seen it all before. And we are here because we're Christians. And what we do on Sunday mornings is we go to church. And if we don't go to church, we're not good Christians. I implore you and ask you, when you go to the house of God, and I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking if you go anywhere to be fed the Word of God, walk in there with a teachable spirit. Open up yourself and listen. Take everything. And I'm not saying just accept and receive bad theology or bad doctrine, but what I'm saying is you need to be able to open yourself up and then have the discernment to know whether it's of the Spirit of God or not. Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And there is an overwhelming amount of what I would call spiritual pride in the church today, which is the inability to subject oneself to tutelage and instruction regarding the things of God. I believe that that's a huge problem that we face in the church. Going to church doesn't make you teachable any more than going to school makes you teachable. Is there anybody you've ever taught or you've been a teacher in the school system or you've taught at home or anything? Anybody done any kind of teaching? Nobody? Okay, all right, okay, there we go. All right, done some teaching. Listen, if you have taught, you will understand that not every student is teachable. And the only ones that are actually going to make a good grade and pass the class are those that are willing to be taught. And the disciples had seen, listen to this, they'd seen Jesus pray, but they still wanted to be taught to pray. There is a lesson for us to learn inside of this, because I think that we have a really big problem in today's culture that because we've seen it done, we think we know how it's supposed to be done. Because it's been modeled in front of us that we think that we already know how to do it because we're a YouTube generation and we can pull up a video and it will teach us everything that we need to know about everything. And because we watch the video, listen, there are some people think that they are experts because they've watched 3 YouTube videos on it. They have amassed 27 minutes worth of content on the internet and they think that they are a transmission specialist. They think that they know more than the plumber that's been doing plumbing for 30 years because they found some joker on the internet that showed them how to do this plumbing thing at their house. And now they think that they are experts because they've seen somebody do it. And that's just true. I don't care. But the disciples realized there's a difference in spectating and participating. And I can't just see something done and expect that I know how it's done. And that's the problem with many people that come to church is they spectate. And because they spectate and because they're part of a large group of people that are doing things, that are praying, that are worshiping, that are believing for miracles, that are teaching the word. Listen, just being a part of it is not the same thing as doing it. And we have to learn that we can't just see something modeled and expect that we know how to do it. We have to be willing to be taught. They said, teach us to pray. That word teach in the Greek means cause to learn. It means to instruct, and it means to impart knowledge. But you know what I've found? Most people would rather stay in ignorance than admit ignorance so they can escape ignorance. Because they don't want to admit, you know what? I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to praise. I don't know how to worship. I don't know how to study the word. They'd rather stay in ignorance than admit ignorance so that they can escape ignorance. Listen, nobody likes to admit that they don't know something. But I want to declare here and now that this house is not a house of shame. It's not a house of condemnation, but a place of grace and acceptance. I don't want you to feel the need to put on when you come through those doors and have an unteachable spirit and act like, well, I already know that because I've been a Christian for 30 years. Listen, it's okay to not know everything because no one knows everything but God. And so why do we feel the need to act like we know everything when everybody else knows that we don't know everything? Right? I don't want you to feel like you have to put on this mask of perfection when you come into this place. I want you to be able to be like the disciples, and you could go up to a seasoned saint, or you could come up to myself or one of the pastors and say, would you teach me what this means in the Bible? What does it mean to fast? What does it mean to have a prayer life? What does it mean to give a prophecy? What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues? What does it mean to have signs, wonders, and miracles follow you? We will never know if we're not teachable, because none of us are the sum total of wisdom. And how are we going to get better if we allow the sin of pride to infiltrate and dam up our ability to be taught the word of God and receive proper teaching, instruction, and impartation of knowledge that is needed to grow? How are we going to get any better if we don't do that? So my encouragement to you this morning is don't allow spiritual pride to get in the way of knowing God better. Because that's what pride wants to do. It wants to block your pathway to the heart and to the knowledge of God. It's okay to admit that you don't know everything. The disciples, listen, I love the humility that was seen in, that we see in the disciples, because the disciples didn't assume that because they were Jesus's disciples and they were John's disciples, that they already knew everything that John's disciples knew. If you're going to pray, listen, prayer is one of the most humble things that you can do on the earth, if not the most. Prayer, praise, and worship are three of them. They're probably the three most humble things, because what you're doing is you are acknowledging your need for a heavenly Father and that you can't do it, you don't have it figured out, and you don't know what to do, and he's greater than you are. But the disciples, they came to Jesus in a humble manner. They didn't assume, well, they're lesser than us because they're just John's disciples, but we're Jesus's disciples. They didn't assume that they already knew it because they'd seen Jesus do it. They said, would you teach us how to pray? Would you instruct us in prayer? Would you impart knowledge to us regarding the subject of prayer? And I love Jesus' response because it shows so much of his nature and his kindness and his love and who he was. He didn't say, how do y'all not know this by now? Y'all have already seen me pray. Go figure it out yourself. Just, I'll tell you what, do go over there and get under the tree and you start to shake and cry and moan and you figure it out on yourself. You've seen me do it. You go do it. No, he opened up his heart. He opened up his mouth and he began to teach them. He began to instruct them. He began to impart into them knowledge. Listen, being taught doesn't always mean that you're completely ignorant. It simply means you want to know more. So when I say teach us to pray, I'm not trying to imply that you know nothing of prayer. I'm trying to say God wants to build upon maybe what you already know or lay a foundation that can help you build a greater prayer life with him. And that's really all this morning is laying a foundation for prayer, and then we'll build more on what prayer is and how we can do it. But the desire for impartation of knowledge comes from the desire to go deeper. If you want to go deeper, you're going to have to receive more instruction. That's true in any field. It's true in any activity. If you want to get better, you want to go deeper, you want to go farther, you've got to open yourself up to farther instruction. That's why people take more classes. That's why people put in more practice and more time, is they realize if I want to be better at this, I'm going to have to receive instruction, tutelage, impartation. How many of you want to go deeper today? How many of you would say with me, teach us to pray? I prayed that yesterday so many to the Lord. Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach us to pray so that we may know how to call upon you in times of need and see you provide. Teach us to pray so that we can lay hands on the sick and pray the prayer of faith and see them recover. Teach us to pray so that we can better know his heart and his will. Teach us to pray so that through him and through the blood of Jesus, we can become pure and innocent and holy and set apart. Teach us to pray so that whenever we're tempted to wander and to stray, we will instead turn to him and talk to him and find peace and consolation. But I love what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2. He says, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. And I want to talk about this. I'm not going to try to get on a soapbox, but I do want to tell you what I believe. I believe that prayer is essential in the life of those who profess Jesus Christ and claim to have relationship with him. A Christian that doesn't pray, I don't know that that really exists. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying. And it's not my job to say who's saved and who's not. I'm just telling you what I believe about relationship. Because relationship with no communication is no relationship at all. There's a difference in friendship and acquaintance. And anyone that I have friendship with, those who I consider friends, I communicate with them, I speak to them, I listen to them, I care about their feelings, and I share my feelings and my desires with them, and I listen to them, I rejoice when they rejoice, I weep when they weep, and I want to communicate and have fellowship and relationship with them. And I believe that relationship with no communication is not really relationship at all. And so if we consider ourselves to be friends with God, but we don't ever talk to him, does that really make us friends with God? No, thank you. No, thank you for the participation. I love it. Listen, I want you to hear this. Prayer is not a burden to be borne on the backs of the religious, but a blessing to be celebrated by the loved and chosen of God. So often, we think that prayer, I need to pray. I need to pray. I have to pray. No, you get to pray. You have the opportunity to pray. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Prayer is not a burden to be borne. It's a blessing to be celebrated. In fact, I'd like to share with you some quotes by the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, one of God's chosen vessels to declare the glorious gospel and one of the best to ever do it. I want to give you six quotes by him on prayer. And listen, I chose this out of a list of 40 quotes, and I'm sure there's even more. That's how much he talked about prayer in his sermons. He said, the first one is this: to pray is to enter the treasure house of God and gather riches out of an inexhaustible storehouse. Isn't that good? He also said, it is well said, man, this one hurts, that neglected prayer is the birthplace of all evil. Let me say that again. It is well said that neglected prayer is the birthplace of all evil. If you have been being triumphed over by evil and temptation, you can probably trace it back to somewhere you weren't praying. Number three, he said, I know of no better thermometer to your spiritual temperature than this, the measure of the intensity of your prayer. If you want to know if somebody's really saved, don't go look at their Facebook page. Go listen to them pray. And you'll really know whether they know God or not. You can listen to someone pray and you know, just like if you hear two friends talking, you can tell they've been friends for a really long time, just by the way that they communicate. And I'm not trying to down anybody. I'm trying to call you to a higher level of prayer. He says also, he who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his disposal. The fifth one is this. Man, this one's so good. Anything is a blessing which makes us pray. Oh, that we would have that mentality. Because sometimes it's the weight of the world and the burden of life that drives us to our knees. And we need to look at that and realize, what a blessing, because it made me turn to my source, my hope, my strength, my friend, my savior, my deliverer. Anything is a blessing which drives us to our knees in prayer. Number six, I want to talk about this one for a moment. Prayer itself is an art which only the Holy Ghost can teach us. He is the giver of all prayer. Pray for prayer. Listen to this. Pray for prayer. Listen to this last line. Pray till you can pray. That is the best advice that anyone could ever give you in regards to prayer. Pray till you can pray. Because so many people don't pray because they think, I don't know how. Or they pray and they don't feel goosebumps and they don't feel a movement and a stirring inside of them. Or they don't see the results of their prayer. Or they don't see what they thought would happen out of prayer. So they stop praying because they think, well, I don't know how to pray. Maybe I did it wrong. Maybe it doesn't actually work. Maybe I just need someone else to pray for me. Pray till you can pray. Listen, the more you do something, the better you will become it. It's like prayer is like any discipline or any action. The more you do it, the better you become at it. In fact, my first time on the golf course, I shot a 104. That's, if you don't know anything about golf, that's really bad. I shot a 104. But you know what? Something inside of me fell in love with that game, and I decided I don't want to shoot 104 next time. I want to break 100 next time. And then I wanted to break 90. And then I wanted to break 80. And I still want to break 70. That one just hasn't happened yet, Pastor Keith. I haven't broken 70 yet. I want to. It's coming. I speak those things that are not as though they were. But just like anything, the more that I didn't shoot 104 and go, I guess this game isn't for me. There was something inside of me that thought, I want to get better. And so the only way to get better is to play more and to practice more. The only way to get better at praying is to pray more. You don't need some special gifted man or woman of God. Not that it's wrong to have them lay hands on you and pray for you, but it's not a magic trick that all of a sudden somebody prays for you and boom, your prayer life all of a sudden grows. No, it's you making the decision like Jesus. I'm going to get over here on my own. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to talk to God. Pray till you can pray. The old saints used to say, we need to pray through this matter. Don't just pray into something, pray through something. Be like that persistent widow that came back to the judge and back to the judge and back to the judge, and she wearied him day after day and finally said, give her whatever she wants. Do you realize Jesus told that parable in regards to prayer? That men ought always to ask without losing hope, without giving up. Pray till you can pray. Prayer is truly an art that has to be practiced and perfected. It's quintessential to life with Christ and walking in the Spirit. Listen to me. A Christian with no prayer life is an oxymoron. I didn't call them an ox or a moron, okay? It simply means it's a contradiction. And it's foolish to think that we can live life with God without dedicating ourselves to the act of communing with God. Why do we think that we can walk with God without having fellowship with God? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in the 5th chapter of his first epistle to them a statement that is so often misunderstood amongst believers or unbelievers, anyone that looks at the Word of God. And it's often looked due to the nature of its content. But with three words, he gave us an instruction that should not be missed. He said, pray without ceasing. How many of you have ever looked at that and thought, that's got to be impossible? That's contradictory in and of itself. Pray without ceasing. What does he mean? I say it's often misunderstood, and some people find it misleading because they would ask, how can we pray without ceasing? I got to go to work sometime. I got to talk to my spouse sometime. I got to get on Facebook sometime, right? Come on, somebody. I can't pray all the time. You know, all pray and no play makes me a dull boy, right? How do I pray without ceasing? How do I actually pray all the time? And the text that we read in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, actually says of Jesus, when he ceased praying, they came to him. So is this a contradiction in the Word of God? Did Jesus not live by the very word that he is and that is spoken and written for our life for instruction? No, that's not what it means. Because the Bible is always accurate. It's always reliable. And if there's any error found in it, it's not in the manual. It's in the user. And so we need to look at it deeper and find out, what does it actually mean? And the apostle is simply saying this: never give up on prayer. Never stop praying. Never give up the habit of communicating with the Father. Don't let anything, don't let trial, don't let tribulation, don't let wealth and prosperity, don't let anything get in between you and your relationship with God. Don't let a boyfriend or a girlfriend, don't let a child, don't let a job opportunity, don't let anything rob you, a hobby or a pastime or a football game or whatever it is. Don't let anything hinder the fact that you spend time on a regular basis talking to God. In fact, if you look it up in the Greek, the definition of this verse, it means do not allow there to be any unnecessary gap between your conversations with the Lord. An unnecessary gap. Listen, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus, as our high priest, he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet without sin, so that he could sympathize with our what? Weakness. That means that he knows that we are weak vessels. There's going to be times that we do not act perfectly, bat 1,000, and everything is not just going and perfectly. But he still can sympathize with our weakness. So what that means is don't let there be an unnecessary gap. Listen, there are going to be things in your life that may interrupt you that you can't help that are out of your control. But don't let there be an unnecessary gap that you allow something to come in and steal your time with God, steal your communion with God, steal your unity with God. That's what he's saying. In this passage, he also says, listen, pursue what is good, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. How can we do all these things at one time? How can we possibly pursue what is good, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, rejoice always? So what that means is he's not literally saying pray 1,000% of the time. What he's saying is all these things are the will of God for your life. That you would pursue what is good, that you would rejoice every chance you get the opportunity to rejoice, that you would pray without any, unnecessary gap coming in between your time with God, that you would give thanks for this is the will of God. He's saying, make sure that in every day you're doing all of those things. You're pursuing good, you're rejoicing, you're praying, you're giving thanks. This is the will of God for your life. So I want to begin to close and leave you with this. Prayer is a definitive part of the will of God for your life. How many of you would say, I want to live in the will of God? Well, then we need to be praying. Yeah. Because that's what Paul ends this passage with. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What is he saying? All these things, this is what I want you to do. No matter if you're a banker or a plumber or a mechanic or a teacher or a stay-at-home mom or you pastor a church, this is my will for your life. Pursue what is good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. This is my will for you. So prayer is definitive in the will of God for our life. But listen to me. God wants prayer for you, not from you. Yes, it requires something of you to pray, but this is something that God wants for you. He offers the gift of peering into his heart, into heaven, and receiving wisdom that can't come from man. When you don't know what to do, pray. When you think you know what to do, pray. When you're struggling, pray. When you're happy, pray. When you're discouraged, pray. Pray without ceasing. Realize it's the answer to so many of our problems. So we need to lay our inhibitions aside and say, Lord, would you teach me how to pray? And I want to leave you with this. So many people, you may be wondering, how do I even start? The Lord dropped this in my spirit as I was praying this morning. You can say it. You can sing it. You can write it. You can shout it. You can read it. But most of all, you need to mean it. What I mean by that is you can talk to God and communicate with God in so many different ways and so many different levels. We could go throughout Scripture and show you in the Psalms where there were tears mingled with prayer. I could show you where there were shouts of prayer. I could show you where Hannah went to the temple and her mouth moved, but nothing came out, but the Lord still heard her prayer. Because as long as you mean it, you can do it. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in faith. You can pray loud. You can pray quiet. You can pray the Word of God. You can write your prayers out. But most importantly, you need to mean what you pray. Entreat the Father. You can come before him in so many different ways. When you pray. Not if you pray. When you pray. Why? Because prayer is needed in the life of every single person in order to walk with God and to be used by God. Would you stand to your feet with me today? What I want to ask you to do as you stand is if you would just simply bow your head and close your eyes. I want to ask if you want to make a fresh commitment and a fresh question to the Lord and say, Father, would you teach me to pray? Would you just lift your hands all over this room? Listen, my hands are lifted. I want to go deeper in prayer. I want to go farther in prayer. I want to pray till I can pray. I want to pray until I move into places where I've never been before with God. And I'm asking that for you and for us. And Lord, I pray that you would truly continue to make this house a house of prayer. And when I say this house, I'm not just talking about this building and the blocks that make it up. I'm talking about the people, the body of Christ. Lord, let us be called to prayer. Lord, we're saying we're not afraid for you to wake us in the night seasons to intercede and to pray. God, we don't want to forsake prayer. We don't want to move away from communing with you and walking with you. God, we want to pray while we're on the clock. We want to pray while we're with our family. We want to find secret times to get alone with you and be like Jesus, where he would often withdraw himself into the wilderness just to pray, just to get alone with the Father. Lord, move us to intercession for the lost and for the broken and for the hurting. God, let us be people that receive the call. Lord, teach us how to pray. We admit we don't know everything there is to know about prayer. We haven't seen everything there is to see. We haven't heard everything there is to hear. We humbly cry out to you and say, teach us to pray. Show us, God, what is going to move your heart? How do we connect with you and hear from you and speak to you, God? We want to go deeper in you. We want to go deeper in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would call your people to a place of intimacy with you like we've never known or felt or had before. And Lord, I pray that there would be a hunger and a desire and a realization that prayer is not an obligation, it's an invitation. It's not something you want from us, it's something you want for us. Lord, let us have that shift. Prayer is one of the benefits of Christianity, not one of the burdens of Christianity. Help us to find peace in you and realize that anything is a blessing that leads us to prayer. Lord, thank you that we can communicate with you. Thank you that the veil was torn and we can come before your throne and find help and grace in time of trouble and of need. Lord, we love you. We honor you today. We ask that you'd be glorified in our lives and that you would lead and guide us. Lord, I pray that you also would help us to listen to your voice and to hear the clarity of what you want to say to us and what you want to do through us. Lord, as prayer is a two-way street, let us not be the people that just talk and talk and talk, but let us listen to your heart, God, and have communion and communication with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you learn and grow in prayer every single day as you talk to the Lord and you hear from the Lord. Be blessed today in Jesus' name. We love you. Have an awesome week. It's so good to have Bruce Bonfleur back with us this week. We're so thankful to see you and have you back, brother, and I'm glad you're doing better. You look great. You look strong. We love you. Have a great week. Be blessed.